Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and good morning. It's global time, you know. Global time with Christ Jesus. A voice is being heard all around and across the earth on this morning. Thank you for joining us. You're right on time. I'm your host, Aubrey Gray, for the next few minutes, and we're going to do what we always do. Open our hearts and ourselves to giving back to the Lord and presenting to Him our hearts on this morning. Well, it's Wednesday, and it's already May 4th. So thank you for joining us. And I'm glad that God kept you and brought you through so that you can be with us once again. Amen. Amen. Today we are reflecting on the tests of pressure. We want to see what God has for us individually and corporately today, looking into His Word and seeing what He is saying there. We also want to lift up those things that are on His heart, letting Him know that we're careful to be concerned about what touches Him. And so if we are, and I believe we are eager, that's why we're here, we will touch on those things and see what God will say to us. Every day is an opportunity for growth. I have a few plants that one in particular that I have on the outside. I have many plants on the inside of our dwelling, but there's this one plant. It's a mint. It's the mint family, and it's a perennial, meaning it returns every year. And so it started popping up a few weeks ago, showing itself, and it was kind of almost in the shade. It would get some sunlight, but the area where it was positioned was kind of shaded some of the time. And so I moved it into the sunlight where it's getting more sunlight than shade. And it just went berserk in terms of growth, growth and development. So positioning, as I saw, can make a difference. And so this plant is positioned right into the sunlight. It's getting sunlight most of the day, and so it's growing rapidly. There's just this spurt of growth because of exposure to the sunlight. And that's what happens when we are exposed to the light of the Son of God on a daily basis. And that's what we're endeavoring to do and to be. And so God is growing you and I in many ways and because of many things. And one of the ways He's growing us is our willingness to be available to Him at this time, most mornings. And so we thank you for being so willing, because we're growing together. We're doing life together in Christ, and that's exciting. What's even more exciting about it is that there are days coming in the future when Christ returns. And we all remember these days and are able to put them in even sharper perspective, understanding, and being totally overjoyed that we did the right thing at the right time. And we'll be excited. So we'll have wonderful memories of the life that we are now living and how we participated with the Lord and engaged heaven in these seasons and times that God is allowing us. So there's the present joy, and then there's the future joy. So look forward to that. Amen. Well, let us allow ourselves to be welcomed in the presence of the Lord this morning, going right into His throne room. Father, we thank You that the door is always open for us to come in, for us to enter in. We thank You for not only inviting us, but welcoming us into Your presence on this day. Because You love us so much and You want us to be in Your presence, You want to be with us. We thank You for the relationship that we have. It's like no other. We just know that You accept us and love us unconditionally. You first loved us before we loved You. And Father, there's no other place that we can testify of having such a great relationship as ours. So today, Father, we want to know that no sin, no iniquity, no trespass can hinder or get in the way of our relationship. So we ask You today to apply the precious blood that was shed so freely because of love. Apply it to our lives today. Help us. Make us whole again where we are spoiled, where we have failed. Help us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Enrobe us with His righteousness once again, so that that is out of the way, that our sins are removed and cast into the great depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. We thank You today for the victories that You have given us all the day long on yesterday. How You've kept us and kept our mind in perfect peace because it was stayed on You. How You guided us, watched over us. So we thank You, Lord. And so we are learning that You care and that we can rest. We can have a rest in You. A rest that is not disturbed by anything that the enemy throws at us. By no trial, no tribulation, a rest that comes only from You. A peace that passes all understanding. So we give You thanks on this morning that You've given us another day that has new mercies contained. And it's for us. This morning, we claim it, we receive it, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, we pray. We thank You for each person that's dialed in to this connection today. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord, and thank You for joining us this morning. Thank You for being with me. You know, I mean, I love to pray, but it's so much more fun when there's You. and your faith and your agreement with what God has placed in our agenda today. So today, the Lord has a word for you and I, and it has to do with the tests of pressure. He wants us to recall and remember and have in our hearts fixed that salvation does not exempt us from the everyday challenges of life. And those who are fully committed to the Lord often find themselves entangled in ongoing difficulties. Finally, a release comes, only to find that another pressure has taken the place of the one that was just solved or resolved. There is a reason for these difficulties. Therefore, we should view them as servants placed in our circumstances to accomplish a higher purpose. It is only as we rise above or overcome these seemingly unending pressures and difficulties and refuse to allow them to hinder our forward move, will be able to successfully press toward the mark for the prize that the Lord has made available to us. And that's what Paul pointed out. And the reason is because we're becoming his bride. Yes, we're becoming the bride of the Son of God. And so these pressures come not to destroy us, but to make us. Elsewhere in the Word of God, we are told that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purposes. All things, not some things, all things. And when we get that, we understand the ability of all of those things to shape us, because the word work there, all things work, the word work is the word energia. That's powerful. In other words, let's take a closer look at what's being said. All things bring their energies, and those energies come to shape us into what God wants us to be. So as we face challenges that bring pressure, in the midst of the pressure, we are shaped. In other words, God is doing something. There's nothing that comes into your life and experience that God doesn't know about. He knows all of it. Sometimes we wonder, though, that does he know? Because what has come is so relatively undesirable. The timing is bad. You know, all of those things appear for us. But the fact is, God knows about each one of those experiences that would bring pressure to our lives. And so, after we've gotten over our initial shock and behavior about it, we can then rest in peace that God knows all about it. And we can speak with him about it. And, of course, he'll assure us. He says that my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, to take you through and over that hump, if you will. So we want to be able to stand the tests of pressure. Let us take another look at the scripture and see what Paul says in his second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 12 and verse 10. Here's what he said. He says, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Have you faced a pressure, a difficulty before which you just clearly understood that you're weak? You couldn't really do anything about it. You couldn't solve it. I know of many situations like that. I've experienced and continue to experience many like that. There, you didn't ask for it. You wouldn't have invited that pressure, but it appears, and then you realize how helpless you are, that only the Lord, His intervention, can do or cause anything productive to come out of it. So you feel weak. Feel a great sense of weakness and helplessness and difficulty. But don't worry. Christ is on the scene. Because when you're weak, then you are strong. Because our weakness removes us from the equation so that we don't have our hands in it, and only the one who is qualified, and that is Christ Himself, that can do something. And it's because of Him being involved and having intervened in our situation that we are strong. Not in ourselves, but because of Him. Through Christ, I can do all things because He strengthens me. So Paul's idea was, you just keep pressing forward. He said in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, he says, I do not claim that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won. He says, of course, my friends, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is behind me and do my best to reach what is ahead. So I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. So it's forward and up. That's what Paul is saying. He will continue to press. And pressing means that there's resistance. And the resistance are the pressures of the circumstances that appear. But you press. You press anyway by the help of the Lord. So this morning, imagine, grace has come with this morning and new mercies. With this new day, take hope in the Lord. He's calling you forward toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is Christ Himself, being completely changed and transformed such that we are like Him. Overcomers. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, good morning to you. If you've just joined us, welcome to Global Time with Christ Jesus. And I'm your host, Aubrey Gregory. And if you'd like to share a praise report or a prayer burden, meaning a prayer request, Well, those of you who are on with us frequently, you know the routine. Just press the button 1 on your telephone and you can be heard. But if in fact you were new or have forgotten what the routine is, well, again, press the button 1 and we'll be able to make your line live and you will be heard live on our prayer broadcast this morning. Amen. Do so for God's glory and let Him speak to your heart and speak through you. I do want to make a couple of announcements about what is happening in the world and in our zone. In our zone, Saturday, May 14th and Sunday, May 15th, both days, and it's really the Sunday, but there's pre-activity leading up to it on Saturday. But every year there is a global day of prayer. And many years ago we started to observe that in Newark. And for those who have not heard about the global day of prayer, well, that started in the nation of South Africa. God spoke to the heart of one brother there many years ago. And that was the beginning of the observance of the Global Day of Prayer. And so that started and just grew globally. This was a global size vision, so that there are tens and hundreds of thousands of people that are will be gathering that day in various countries around the world to observe the Global Day of Prayer. Now, again, that's something that in the future, at the return of Christ, we will look back or will be able to look back and realize that God was doing something awesome in the earth all along. And we were part of it. So here in the city of Newark, we are observing the Global Day of Prayer on Sunday, May 15th. And one of the events that will be built around that is the coming together of many believers and churches in Washington Park, Square Park, here in Newark, from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday the 15th. That's from 2 a.m., I'm sorry, p.m. to 4 p.m. Washington, Park, downtown Newark. And so you're invited to come, if you're in our zone, to come and be part of that. And that day is a day of repentance and united prayer. We're overdue for an outpouring and a massive move of the Holy Spirit upon the people of God, beginning in the church first. And but moves of God usually are preceded by repentance and prayer. And if you're concerned about what's going on in your community and in our city, our nation, and what's going on around the world as it relates to the need for Christ, well, you want to be a part of this event so that we are praying with the rest of the world for the world. Amen. Now, it doesn't get better than that. You have to know that that's God's heart. And so we're getting ready for that. Now, on Saturday, the Saturday before, from 6:30 to 8:30, there is an event, and it will be also, you know, that evening there would be a prayer at Metropolitan Baptist Church from 6:30 to 8:30. So these are some things that are coming that you want to put into your calendar. You want to mark those things. So there are 10 days of constant prayer that's leading up to this event. Of course, we're already doing that. Amen. We're already engaged in as we are right now. So leading up to that, there'll be 10 days of prayer. Then there's the global day of prayer, which is on the 15th. The 10 days of prayer begins on the 5th, which is tomorrow. And that will catch us right here. And then there's 90 days, excuse me, of blessing. As we're, you know, we'll be doing acts of service. Now, one of the acts of service that we will be doing is that on June 6th begins 30 days of prayer and fasting, Muslims celebrating Ramadan. And that goes for 30 days from June 6th until July 5th. And what we have done and have begun to do every year is pray right along with and for the Muslims. Now, the Muslims are celebrating Ramadan, and during this period, they believe they can get closer and much closer to the Lord. That's a desire on the part of many. Well, we want to see the same thing happen. We know that the Lord wants that to happen. So we'll pray for them that they will find Christ, because He is the Lord and there's none other. So that's what we'll be doing. There are more than a billion Muslims on the earth, and they are all people that Jesus Christ died for. Okay, look at Muslims from the perspective of God's heart and the Word of God. Don't look at it through political and rhetorical viewpoints that you've been hearing through the media and from other voices that really don't speak for God. God died through Christ. Christ's life was laid out for you, for me, and for all people who are Muslims, Buddhists, Confucius, whatever. If they were created by God, they're included in the love equation, for God so loved the world. And so He wants to see these people come to Him, because He owns the earth and all the people in it. Not some, all of the people in it. So we want to pray from June 5th. I believe it's June 6th to July 5th, 30 days. So we'll be praying, okay? So during the 90 days of blessing, we want to bless Muslims by praying for them. Do you think that's God's will? Absolutely. It's God's will. So let us set our hearts to doing God's will. We have tremendous opportunity. Tremendous opportunity to serve God with our lives. God did not call us to religion. He called us to freedom and liberty to glorify His name with our lives. And when we keep that perspective, every pressure, every issue that comes to pressure us, it serves as heat to cause us to be shaped by the hand of the Holy Spirit into what God intends for us to be. So that's what we're talking about when we say the tests of pressure. Let it shape you. So we have a pressure on now. One of them is to respond with the rest of the earth to the global day of prayer, where millions of Christians will be praying. Millions of people will be calling on the Lord on May 15th. Because it's the global day of prayer. We had the distinguished honor of being the means by which God brought that to Newark. I had never heard of it. And some people who are wonderful friends and love the Lord came to us and said, you know, in our context, people are not feeling that, and not even at our church. Would you be willing to host the Global Day of Prayer, which is being observed? I had never heard of it until they came. And would you pray about hosting that? I said, well, we don't have to pray about that. We know God's heart about the earth. Yes, we'll do it. And so that's been, I don't know, somewhere between, I guess, 13 and 16 years ago, somewhere like that. It's been a long time. And so every year we have celebrated the Global Day of Prayer right here in Newark, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and huger every year, if I may use a word like that. And we believe that that plays in some form or fashion in what is happening and what is not happening in our context. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So I invite you to participate in what God is doing now so that you'll have wonderful memories and tales to tell when we gather around His throne in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. We'll be singing His praises, and we'll have memories. We'll remember these times. Yeah. We remember. Because all who died in Christ will be resurrected. Amen. I don't know about you. There's some joy that's flooding my heart. Let's go to the telephone, I believe. Let's see who is on. I believe it's Sister Edna Rashid is on.
Yes, it is. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I just thank God for being God. And just wanted to bring back a praise report. I am so very grateful that He allows me to be obedient and that I've learned to be obedient. And asking for prayer and asking for the day. Yesterday it was quite heavy, and it's just, you know, testimony because you explained it this morning, how God answered us and how we have to turn it over. And so that's exactly what happened. And I came out victorious. And I just wanted to say I'm so grateful that God would do that for me. And just to share that it's not a, you know, that there's no formal way of doing it. It's just whatever, wherever you are, just submitting and allowing God to use the people that are in your life to bless him. And he'll do whatever it is that's necessary to make you victorious. And I just wanted to say thank God for that and to share. That is no special way of doing it. And I was so tempted not to call in and ask that because I said, oh, that's so small and I don't really know what to ask. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit because whatever I couldn't put into words, we didn't have to know the specifics. We just had to be obedient, and
yes. The
Holy Spirit took it to God, and he knew what to do because I didn't have a clue, and I still don't have a clue, but I am confident in one thing that I push forward, and I know that God will lead, guide, and direct me because he promised, and his word is true. That I do know. His word is true, and it will come to pass, and it'll be favorable in my sight as long as my thoughts and my will are to please him. So I'm so grateful for that, and I celebrate that, and I wanted to just share and hopefully encourage others to do the same, because it's just an awesome feeling to know that we have that kind of back up, if you will. He has our back, and I just wanted to share that this morning,
You heard, I believe, you heard the announcement concerning our desire to pray for Muslims during Ramadan.
Yes.
You used to be a Muslim. Can you just quickly and briefly say what you think of that and what... good if you believe can come out of that.
Absolutely. I thank God for the opportunity because the word Muslim means one who submits to the will of God. Matter of fact, my name, Rashid, is Aramaic. Some people say Arabic. No, it's not Arabic. It's Aramaic. The true language is Aramaic. And what Rashid means is to submit to the will of God. You always say the son of, the servant of God, submit as a servant to the will of God. And so a Muslim is one who submits to the will of God. And
Amen.
It's an interpretation of language. That language all got confused because we were trying to be God way back when. And so that's the area, I believe, where there's so much confusion. As a matter of fact, the way I became a Muslim was because I was searching for the one true God. I didn't know what I was doing back then, but as I grew and developed and completely submitted myself to the will of God, I began to learn. And my mom taught us from a very young age. We were Baptists. We have always been Baptists. We always followed Jesus Christ. But there was something in me that wanted to know more, and I wanted to know more. I wanted to get closer to God. I wanted to just experience. And so in that journey and studying the various types of religion, I studied and I prayed and I went through that 30-day fast that we're talking about. It is truly a desire because what you're doing is you're reading the Quran. Now, what I found out during that process, I'm skipping a lot of the technical stuff, but what you learn is it truly doing what God tells you to do? And during one of those 30-day periods, and I'm reading 1/30 of my Quran, I found out that, guess what? In the Quran, there's a Bible. I'm like, wait, hello? Because the Quran is written in Arabic. Well, we read it, there's an Arabic translation, and again, it's Aramaic. You get into all that technical stuff. And then there's an English interpretation. And then at the bottom of it, it goes to explain more. And if you really, as I was doing at that point, searching and truly trying to find out what this thing called life is about and how do I get to that higher living, I found out that the first 5 books, which is the Torah, which is the first 5 books of the Bible, It's all in one. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. So I was doing the right thing. And when we understand that God has, there's only one God, one religion, and not even religion, it's one service and one submittal to that one God, you understand that. And my godfather, I think I was 14, maybe 12 when I asked him, you know, what is this? Who is this true God? And he said, you know, let me ask you this. Your God, you know, the guy who is worshiping that rock because that's all he knows, is he going to go to hell because he's worshiping that rock? And he truly believes that that rock is his foundation. And so that made me think about it. And so as I'm growing and growing, I'm understanding, I understand how my rock, Jesus Christ, understands me, and that's why he left his Holy Spirit, so that he could take what I'm doing, whether it's right or wrong in my mortal sight or your mortal sight, and he's interpreting it to the Father, and the Father, and that's our forgiveness. So, yes, it's absolutely, in my opinion, and from my understanding, proper. Because had I not been going through that process, had I not been praising God and asking for true understanding, and my family, my mom, I know, and dad, who have always been Baptist, been praying, asking God to open up my eyes and help me to understand him as he is, I today might not be the person I am and might have gone off and gotten sidetracked. So it's important for us, actually it's our responsibility, because it was during one of those prayers that, you know, there's a process that we go through in prayer, that it came to me as I was calling out for God to strengthen me, that the only thing I could say was Jesus, 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 and that light came on. You have it. You have it. So it's absolutely important for us. Not to judge or criticize, but do what God has told us to do, which is to pray, to plant the seed, his word. His word does the changing, not us, not our understanding. It says, lean not upon your own understanding, because our understanding is limited. It's limited. So I say, I thank God for that. I thank God for the understanding. And I ask him to bless me and to teach me. And if I have something wrong, please, Father, you show me so that I can be a brighter light to you. Use me. And I just thank him for using me. I'm so grateful. So some people, you know, people try and trip you up. Are you Muslim? Are you Christian? I said, I am one who believes that there is no God but God. I believe that Jesus, you know, the Trinity, I believe that he will not leave me or forsake me. And if I have something wrong, he knows the innermost parts of me. He knew me before I knew myself, before my mother knew my father. He knew me, and he has me on this road. And he will show me and direct me and allow me to make those mistakes. But in the end, because I believe, and he knows my belief and he knows my heart, I will be saved and I will spend eternity with him and with the saints. So,
amen.
It's just awesome. I thank God for the opportunity to just think back on that right now. Because it's,
amen.
I don't know, hallelujah is what I'm going to say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for that, for sharing that, because I believe that God, well, we have many, many persons that adhere to the Muslim faith in our community and in our experience. And what I mean by that is wherever we go, we're likely to bump into someone that is a Muslim. And so what do you do? You pray for them. That's what you do. You don't make them an enemy or anything like that. You show them the love of God. We have, my wife and I, we know of Muslims of various extractions, if you will, ethnic extractions, and we show them the love of God. That's what we do. We don't treat them as something strange. or anything like that. And of course, we're in endeavoring to pray for them, because many people are searching, and I know of many Muslims that are really, really searching. And when they call on the Lord, like you did, Sister Rashid, the Lord says, call unto me, and I will hear from heaven, and I will answer. And so it's our duty to help them along with our prayers, because there are many that really, really want to find the depths of the Lord, except that they don't know how. Now, I remember my mother, all the days of my life that I knew her, I saw her endeavoring to please the Lord in the ways that she knew at that particular time. She was reaching out. And so that my mother was, for many years, a Jehovah's Witness. She studied, she was faithful to what that belief system put forward. And then when the light came in 1955, that's when the light came, she was just thoroughly saved. And I watched her the rest of my life serving the Lord. But she didn't start out on that track, and she left this life in the Lord. And because of her salvation, that is why we have this prayer cast today. That is why I am saved. You know, I mean, God does what he does. So we can't be simpletons, just simply involved in criticizing and judging people. We're to be part of the solution, and the solution is prayer. We can't change anyone's heart or life, but we can pray that the one who can does. And so we just heard testimony from someone, in particular Sister Edna Rashid, who was searching, and God founded what's now her heart. God established that. But she was searching. And, you know, some of us, well, all of us were searching. That's how we came to the Lord. We, our religion, for some of us, we were just heathens, period. We didn't worship anything or anybody except ourselves. We were just heathen, you know. And so we're no different, or were no different than the person who adheres to the Muslim faith and is trying to find and touch the reality of who God is. We were no different. The scripture says, all have gone, every man to his own way. We were just lost. It doesn't matter what highway you're lost on. When you're lost, you're lost. You don't know the way. And so we're wanting to see so many people in our community that are really hungry, that are searching. We want them to find the life source of water and light. Yes, that's the Lord himself. So, yes, let's care about our contacts, the people that we do business with, that are yet without the light. Let us love on them and love them the way the Lord loves them. And you know how the Lord does it. He loves us first, meaning that he loves us even when we were in our mess. It doesn't matter what the mess was, but it was mess. And aren't you grateful that the Lord brought you out? So who are we to look back and discriminate and judge because of what has been placed in our heads by external sources? We're to just accept people And when we see them, we say, Lord, help them. Amen. Help them. That's right. I was speaking with a young lady who is now back with the Lord. She had begun to follow the Muslim faith, wearing all the stuff and things like that. And she was telling me that this was, I don't know, within the last month or so, that I ran into her. She was telling me she gets these urges to put on the stuff that she used to wear. She gets the urge to do that. And I know that's a spirit. That's a spirit. Yeah, it's a spirit of darkness, actually. And so she now looks so lovely because she dresses what I would say normally, you know, her face is exposed, and she was just such a pleasant person. But before, she was garbed in darkness, and her beauty and who she is could not come forth. Well, now it is, but the enemy wants to pull her back. You know, she has this. It's a form of darkness. I have to say that it's a form of darkness. Yeah, and it doesn't make those people exceptionally bad. Because any more than you and I being heathens, when we were doing our thing, making us exceptionally bad. We weren't exceptionally bad. We were just folk that were lost. And so is everybody else who is not in Christ. Amen? All right. Well, we want to... I just wanted to share all of that with you because I'm excited about what God is doing with us. I remember... the stuff I just shared with you, there was a time I didn't understand those things. And now I do. And so it's made me a better person than what I used to be. And God is calling for you and I to grow. And so that he can use us powerfully. So let's pray for your Muslim friends, the people that you might not even care to pray for. Or interested in because they're Muslim. You know, that's the mindset that the culture will give us if we accept it. Pray for them? Why would we pray for them? You know, that would be the question that goes on in our heads. Father, we thank you today for the light. The light that allows us to even have this conversation. There was a time when we didn't have anywhere near this much light. We were lost as those that we were condemned, we would condemn or dislike because of whatever we feel. We were as lost as they were, but you've brought us into the light, and we thank you, Lord, for the light. Now, Lord, we want to share that light with those that are yet in the darkness. We want to love them as you love them. We want to care about them as you care about them. And Lord, we want to intercede for them as you are interceding for them. And there's a day coming when many, many, there would be such an outpouring of the rain of heaven, that so many Muslims will come to know you personally, that it will be phenomenal and amazing. So we look for that to happen, even on this day, that some Muslim somewhere would find you. In the name of Jesus. And they and their household would be saved completely. So, Father, we ask for your intervention on today. That somehow there's a divine supernatural encounter today for the cause of the kingdom and of Jesus Christ. For your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Touch all those people that are, you know, in your hearts that are seeking you. They want to find truth. They want to find the light. They want to discover the way. But they don't yet know. But you have already done what you could to make the way. You've provided your Son, Jesus Christ. Help them. In the name of Jesus, we pray, touch, and agree on this day. Amen and amen. Well, how do you feel in your heart now? You feel liberated that you can have heaven's attitude towards those that you encounter on a regular basis that are Muslim. I know there's this one, I call him a friend because he really is. Wonderful guy. He's Pakistani. He's from Pakistan, and you know, most people from Pakistan are Muslims. In fact, that was the reason for the creation of the country called Pakistan. Because India is mostly Hindus, mostly. There are other faiths, some that are Christian, some minority, and some that are Sikh and things like that. But most East Indians from India that are in India are Hindus. And so there was this huge disagreement between the Hindus and the Muslims trying to live together in India. So the Muslims left and created a country called Pakistan. So Pakistan is mostly, there's some Christians there. They're being persecuted. They were in the news just a few weeks ago. But Pakistan is mostly Muslims. And so there's this gentleman who's in our community. He's a business person. Wonderful guy. Wonderful guy. I mean, there's a sincerity about him that you would detect. A use of man, if he finds the Lord, my God, what would happen? Because he's a he's devoted to his faith. And his practice of his faith leaves him in a place where he's this wonderful person in terms of the way he responds to individuals, the way he cares about the community, and the way he cares about people, and things like that. So that's someone I would love to see come to the light. And he would be one of those that would turn his turn the world upside down. There are many Christians that ain't turning anything upside down. but when those people come to know the Lord, they are not passive. Because they didn't come from a place of being passive. They turn their world upside down. They do. They turn everything around them upside down. And in the case of being a Christian, right side up. So I just wanted to share that with you on this day because I believe God wants to bring you to another place in Him concerning these issues. He wants to bring you to another place. He wants to cause you to turn the world up, right side up. And the scripture says upside down. It really means right side up. So thank you for joining us today. I trust that your heart has been enlightened somewhat today. Father, we thank you for this session and how it went according to your plan and how you're showing us your heart so that we get your heart and that our hearts are changed the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you for joining us, and I do want to share this benediction as we go out. Peace be to the brothers in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And that's from Ephesians 6, verse 23 and 24. Thank you for joining us. And this has been Global Time with Christ Jesus. And thank you for being with me. We look forward to being with you once again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. sharp. Don't come empty-handed. Come with a praise report and a prayer request, praying for someone that you know that God would hear and answer and intervene. But remember today, the pressures come to test us, to shape, and to form us. May God bless you richly on this morning, this Wednesday morning. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Now is the time.